This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Chapter 20. How Mr. Rabbit Saved His Meat. "One time," said Uncle Remus, wetting his knife slowly and thoughtfully on the palm of his hand and gazing reflectively in the fire. "One time, Brer Wolf—" "Why, Uncle Remus," the little boy broke in, "I thought you said the rabbit scalded the wolf to death a long time ago." The old man was fairly caught, and he knew it. But this made little difference to him. A frown gathered on his usually serene brow as he turned his gaze upon the child, a frown in which both scorn and indignation were visible. Then all at once he seemed to regain control of himself. The frown was chased away by a look of Christian resignation. "There now, what did I tell you?" he exclaimed, as if addressing a witness concealed under the bed. "Ain't I done told you so? Bless gracious! If chillens ain't getting so they knows more'n old folks, and they'll dispute you longer and dispute longer, except in your ma call 'em, which I expect won't be long for she will, and then I'll sit here by the chimney corner and get some peace of mind. When old miss was living," continued the old man, still addressing some imaginary person, "it is more than any her chillens had dared to do to come disputing along of me, and Mars John'll tell you the same any day you ax him." "Well, Uncle Remus, you know you said the rabbit poured hot water on the wolf and killed him," said the little boy. The old man pretended not to hear. He was engaged in searching among some scraps of leather under his chair, and kept on talking to the imaginary person. Finally, he found and drew forth a nicely plaited whip thong with a red snapper all waxed and knotted. "I was fixing up a whip for a little chap," he continued with a sigh, "but, bless gracious, 'fore I can get her done, the little chap done growed up twill he knew more'n I does." Child's eyes filled with tears and his lips began to quiver, but he said nothing. Whereupon Uncle Remus immediately melted. "I declare to goodness," he said, reaching out and taking the little boy tenderly by the hand, "if you ain't the very spittin' image of old miss when I brung her to the last news of the war. It's just like scaring up a ghost what you ain't feared of." Then there was a pause, the old man patting the little child's hand caressingly. "You ain't mad, is you, honey?" Uncle Remus asked finally. "'Cause if you is, I'm gwine out here and butt my head against the door jamb." But the little boy wasn't mad. Uncle Remus had conquered him, and he had conquered Uncle Remus in pretty much the same way before. But it was some time before Uncle Remus could go on with the story. He had to be coaxed. At last, however, he settled himself back in the chair and began. "'Course, honey, it might have been old Brer Wolf, or it might have been near Brer Wolf. It might have been before he got caught up with. It might have been afterwards. Is the tale gun to me this that way, I get it unto you. One time, Brer Wolf was coming along home from a fishing frolic. He sauntered along the road, he did, with his string of fish across his shoulder, when first news you know, old Miss Partridge, she hop out of the bushes and flutter along right at Brer Wolf's nose. Brer Wolf, he say to hisself that old Miss Partridge trying fur to toll him away from her nest. And with that, he lay his fish down and put out into the bushes where old Miss Partridge come from. And about that time, Brer Rabbit, he happened along. There was the fishes, and there was Brer Rabbit. And when dat the case, what you expect a sort of independent man like Brer Rabbit gonna do? I can tell you dis, that dem fishes ain't stay where Brer Wolf put him at. And when Brer Wolf come back, they was gone. Brer Wolf, he sot down and scratch his head, he did, and study and study. And then hit sort of rush into his mind that Brer Rabbit been long there. And then Brer Wolf, he put out for Brer Rabbit's house. And when he get there, he hail him. Brer Rabbit, he dunno nothing at all about no fishes. Brer Wolf, he up and say he please to believe that Brer Rabbit got them fishes. Brer Rabbit denied up and down. But Brer Wolf stand to it that Brer Rabbit got them fishes. Brer Rabbit, he say that if Brer Wolf believe he got the fishes, then he give Brer Wolf leave for to kill the best cow he got. Brer Wolf, he took Brer Rabbit at his word and go off to the pasture and drive up the cattle and kill Brer Rabbit's best cow. Brer Rabbit, he hate mighty bad for to lose his cow, but he lays plans, and he tell his chillens that he gwine have that beef yet. Brer Wolf, he been tuck up by the patrollers for now, and he mighty scared of 'em. And fust news you know, here come Brer Rabbit hollering and telling Brer Wolf that the patrollers are coming. You running high, Brer Wolf, says Brer Rabbit, says he. And I'll stay here and take care of the cow till you get back, says he. Soon as Brer Wolf hear talk of patrollers, he scramble off into the underbrush like he'd been shot out of that gun. And he went moon gone for Brer Rabbit. He whirled in and skinned the cow and sawed the hide down. And then he took and cut up the carcass and stowed away in the smokehouse. And then he took and sticked the end of the cow tail in the ground. After he gone and done all this, then Brer Rabbit, he squall out for Brer Wolf. Run here, Brer Wolf! Run here! Your cow gone in the ground! Run here! When old Brer Wolf got there, which had come scootin', there was Brer Rabbit holding on to the cow tail fur to keep it from going in the ground. Brer Wolf, he catch hold, and they give a pull or two, and up come the tail. Then Brer Rabbit, he wink his off eye, and say, says he, there, the tail done pull out, and the cow gone, says he. But Brer Wolf, he weren't the man for to give it up that away, and he got him a spade, and a pickaxe, and a shovel, and he dig and dig for that cow, till digging was past all endurance. And old Brer Rabbit, he sat up there in his front porch, and he smoked a cigar. Every time old Brer Wolf stuck the pickaxe in the clay, Brer Rabbit, he giggled to his chillens. He diggy, 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 but no meat there. He diggy, 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 but no meat there. 'Cause all the time the cow was laying pile up in his smokehouse, and him and his chillens was eating fried beef and innards every time the mouth water. Now then, honey, you take this here whip, continued the old man, twining the leather thong around the little boy's neck, and scamper up to the big house, and tell Miss Sally for to give you some of it next time she finds your tracks in the sugar barrel. End of chapter.